From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Pop Rad. As we stay, no, what do? The sun's out, my kneecaps are brown, I've got my shorts on. And this is Eric Wiltshire at the base of the Tatry Mountains over in Slovakia, in the east of Slovakia. It's beautiful. Still a bit of snow up on the mountains. I took some soldiers up there yesterday. Really fab. And this is Postcard from Poprad, the sideways look at the news. And we call it Postcard from Poprad because we're in Poprad. Well, one of us is anyway. Over on the zit of the nose of Europe, namely the UK, it's Lee Banks.
Hello, everybody. Why are your knees brown?
Because I've got my shorts on.
You've leaked.
Did I bleep? I've got my shorts on.
Just carry on.
I've got my Bermuda socks on as well, you see.
Oh, your Bermuda socks.
Yeah.
And I bet you've got your little hot pants on, not your little hot pants.
No. No, my shorts go down to about an inch above my knees, and my Bermuda shorts come up to just underneath my knees, so my knees have got brown.
Your T-shirt comes to just halfway down your stomach.
Oh, no, I have to have my long sleeve shirt on because I might get sunburn, you see.
Are you wearing brogues and garters?
That's absolutely right. How did you know?
Hello, I'm in the Southwester.
And the other voice was Mark Gander, the founder of the Consumer Action Group in Gay Paris.
And how beautiful it is. And also, it's a very, very long weekend, which means the place has got hardly any Parisians here at all. And what a transformation it is.
Who's there, then?
Only a few people like me.
What's going on in Paris this weekend, then?
Well, not a lot. I tell you, I mean, they hate it so much. As soon as the opportunity comes, they all go. It's unbelievable. And then on Sunday night, I mean, if you happen to be a driver, which I'm not, you get onto a motorway jam trying to get into Paris, amazingly, can be 45 kilometres long. It's incredible.
But what's the point of the holiday, then?
I haven't figured out which one it is. I've lost count of them all, but I know there's another one coming up in another 2 weeks.
Well, we'll be talking about a four-day holiday next year for you Brits.
I know. Yeah. Aren't we the lucky ones?
Yeah. It's lazy more than anything else. Anyway, messages. Anybody got any?
No.
No? that was a pregnant pause from Mark going, no. Must say hi to...
Is that the message, Mark? Yeah.
there's nobody here to give a message to.
So oh, I see what you mean.
Bon voyage.
Bon voyage. That takes me back to Paris and Montmartre, but that's another story. Hi to the guys at Talk Radio X, Replay Radio, and on Audio Boon, you lovely people on RTI, which continue to support us, and we thank you dearly for that. We have got the one email then has flooded in.
Now that's it. It shows how popular we really are.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Anyway, it's from Jenny. She says, 5.3 Skype doesn't work on my computer. I've tried it. Please help. Love, Jenny.
What are you on somebody else's, then?
No.
That was logical. That was just logical. Yeah, how can you deny pure logic?
Because it doesn't work.
What doesn't work?
Well,
logic.
If she's got a computer...
Yeah.
And the Skype version that she's trying to put on it don't work.
Yeah.
What's she supposed to do then?
Put it on another one.
But she hasn't got another one.
Well, then she's in trouble.
No, she's not.
You can't use Skype. We can.
There's a way round it. And I will put this on the fact sheet. On this fact sheet or on the script thing today. Because it's quite a good service, this one. There's a service called www.oldversion.com. And on the Skype link to that, if you've got an older computer which doesn't seem to want to love the new Skype, you can actually install older Skype. As you can for loads of other programs as well. So, for example, there's another one I tried this morning. I've got a license for Paint Shop Pro. Now, for the life of me, I have no idea where the disc is, but on my list of thingies with all the numbers and registrations on, I've still got the registration, but I love Paint Shop Pro 5. I don't know why. And I looked on there as well, and lo and behold, there's Paint Shop Pro 5 as well. So I'm happy. And you can do all this. You can go to oldversion.com. If you like an older version of software rather than a newer one, you can still go and get them. And it's quite a useful tool. And you will find that older machines that maybe don't have the computing power for a more modern program will be working again for you. So, Jenny, try that oldversion.com/Skype, and they're right the way back to the beginning. I wouldn't go right the way back. I'd go back a couple or to when the last one that you had that was working and reinstall that, and that should cure your problem.
There you are, Jenny.
Easy, really.
Sending you to a site for old people.
I was not. Don't start on that again. We had enough of that last week. Anyway.
Old version. Great piece of advice.
Yes.
Great piece of advice, Eric. You should be proud. You should get a knighthood.
Oh, talking of which, it's the Queen's Diamond Jubilee next week. Next year, sorry.
It certainly is.
To mark 60 years of the Queen's reign.
Next week?
No, I'm joking. The Diamond Jubilee will take place in 2012 on the days of the 2nd, 3rd, 4th and 5th of June, because Brits have to have 4 days. They just can't do it any other way. And I won't be there this year, so what the heck are they going to do in South London?
I'll hold your end up for you.
Yeah.
I'm sure you will.
Yeah. On the Silver Jubilee, I was one of the chairpersons. I don't know why I couldn't be a chairman, because I'm a man, not a person.
Because it was equal opportunities.
No, it's political correctness gone balmy.
That's what I mean, exactly.
Anyway, so over in the Diamond Jubilee 2012, it's going to be 4 days off for you guys next year. There's a couple of other things that I found really interesting about this. In London, Greenwich, the proper time for the world, will be granted Royal Borough status, which, of course, is very good, because GMT, not that stuff they use in France...
Yeah, quite right, yes.
..is the proper time zone, not this uniform, collective, date thing, line, whatever, that they went wittering on about in Paris.
What are you talking about? Well, GMT?
No, GMT is the proper time code.
Greater Manchester Transport.
UTC. Do you know what the
UTC stands for? Universal Time Code.
Yeah, yeah. No. I was thinking it's also called Zulu.
Zulu. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Despite that, then, do you?
No.
At the moment, it's 17 minutes past 1 o'clock Zulu.
Yes.
It's 17 minutes past 1 o'clock. Greater Manchester Transport as well.
Anyway, the proper time place, namely Greenwich, is going to be have a Royal Borough status next year, and other towns around the UK can compete for city status as well. They can become the Lord Mayoralty of something or other. I don't know why, but they don't get any money for it. Anyway, so that's all going on next year. It's just been announced today. 4 days off for the Brits next year. There's if you want to find out the entire details of it, because we haven't got time to do the whole lot, all you got to do is go to www.royal.gov.uk. And of course, we'll leave that on our scribd sheets as well for you. We're making even more fact sheets as we go along. It's just too much to cope with.
May I just say, on behalf of the GMT Greater Manchester Transport Public of the UK, thank you to the Queen for giving us yet another holiday.
Right.
I think there's
a lot more
to thank the Queen for that.
No, I quite agree, Mark. I do agree, yes, there's more things to...
I think it's great.
Actually, no...
It is nice. When you think, and also, if you look at the way she's enjoyed herself and she's joined in on designing the celebrations and everything, it is wonderful. And the fact is, at her age, she is still capable of getting out there, impressing people, exciting people, and enjoying it herself.
Absolutely. Yeah, there you go. Anyway, continuing on the same kind of theme, Lee, the Gurkhas.
Well, yeah, this is an amazing story, isn't it, actually? This Gurkha, I can't find his name. Corporal Diprasad Pun. He's only 31. Mm-hmm. And he got the Conspicuous Gallantry Cross after he came under attack at Helmand Checkpoint, you know, in Afghanistan.
Yep.
And he actually took on 30 Taliban members on his own. And in the middle of it, this is like a boy's own story, but it's true. In the middle of it, he ran out of ammunition. So he started battering them with his gun, with anything he could get hold of, and he held them off for 15 minutes until everything was sorted out and he could be rescued and people came along to help him out. And wow. He's been ordered the Gallantry Cross. I think that's wonderful. He deserves more than...
Well, actually, absolutely.
I mean, it's an amazing story, but what on earth do you do more than that to get a Victoria Cross? It just seems an extraordinary
story. That's my point, Mark. Exactly. Why has he got a conspicuous gallantry? Is it you say because it's conspicuous? It's
I think the difference with the other one is that you are not just saving yourself, you're saving your colleagues, aren't you?
Do you think he was just standing there, desperately panicking, saving himself?
Well, I'd have been panicking, I'll tell you that. Jesus. Which reminds me, I'm going to be serious for a couple of seconds. I've had the great honour and privilege this week of meeting double amputee from Afghanistan, Stefan, who was unfortunate to come across an IAD out there. He is the most inspirational man you could ever wish to meet. This guy, as I said, he's doubly amputee, and I took him up to a place called Stripski Plesso in the mountains yesterday because he wanted to go up the mountains.
I know it.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not exactly the most easy walk to get down to the lake. In fact, if you're an older person, I'm not jibing anybody, to get down there, you know, you'd be holding on to somebody else because it's quite a difficult walk. Stefan, not a problem for him. He just said, Eric, tell you what, could you stand in front of me? I'll just rest on your shoulders and I'll walk down the steps. And I went, okay. By which time, we've now walked even further. We then walk even further. I'm like going, brr, brr. And Stefan, he's still off and going. Unbelievable character. And
good on him.
He's a fabulous man. And he wants to get involved in solar energy and inspire others to get involved in solar energy as well with a business that he's going to set up when he goes back to the UK. And I applaud him immensely for that.
Let's give him a clap.
Yes, absolutely. Big round of applause. Well done, Stefan. Moving along. Oh, Mark, can you do this one?
Oh, are we talking here about Leonard Cohen?
Mr. Miserable.
Mr. Miserable.
Miserable. That's what everybody got wrong. Leonard Cohen wasn't miserable.
The tone of his voice was rather sort of in the minor key, wasn't he?
It was morose.
French-Canadian, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well,
all the Parisians have gone to Canada. That's where the voice comes from.
So, yes, which part of it made him morose, being the French part or the Canadian? But I never really went for Leonard Cohen in those days, and it was much more for me Bob Dylan and Dylan. Actually,
he was a minor. He was a minor Bob. Well, not a minor Bob Dylan, but he didn't have. Nobody could rise to his Royal Bobness's stakes, but Leonard Cohen wrote some beautiful, beautiful songs. I've seen what you put on this list afterwards. And at 77 years old, 7 years older than his Royal Bobness, he's still touring, still doing the things, and now he's been recognised by the Prince of Asturias Award. Yeah, in Canada. I just think it's good. The Spanish Literature Award, isn't it?
Oh, and don't forget this week, of course, Ringo Starr has launched his new tour that's going on this year. He's going all over the place.
And but he's just old and...
No, he's fun.
He's an old man.
No, he's fun, got a giggle, and I love the way...
He can't play drums and he can't sing.
And I love the way he was chatting up the girl interviewing him. Absolute star he was.
Oh, he's a dirty old man.
Well, and don't you resemble that remark?
I resemble that remark sometimes if nobody's watching.
Okay, back to serious stuff for a minute. The Sony network allegedly has been attacked again, according to some hackers. And I need Mark to come in on this one desperately seriously. They reckon that they've stolen different bits of information about people using the Sony network. And it is annoying because this is a company that's hacked into it, done all this stuff, and nobody really knows what's kind of going on. So if you think that your identity's been hacked or borrowed or is being used financially with banking services, what are we supposed to do, Mark?
Well, it's very, very difficult, I have to say, because finding out if it's been done and finding out where it's happened really are, you know, the very difficult problems. And often you may not find out until a year or so later on when you start getting hounded for all sorts of debts that aren't yours. But if it does happen to you, then I think you need to go to, if you're in the United Kingdom, you go to the Action Fraud site, which is a police-run site, and log that. Also go to the Information Commission.
Oh, we've lost him.
No, Mark, come back to me.
Yeah, come back.
Yeah.
That's all right, then.
am I still here?
Yes, I'll put 50 cents in the meter. There. It'll work again.
Oh, that's right. I thought my identity had been taken by then. But I think one of the problems is finding out where your identity has been hacked from. I mean, it's a huge problem, and I don't really think we've got the mechanism set up for it. But, Sonny, I happened to look at the BBC website about this story this morning, and there were quite a few comments about it already, and they're all attacking Sonny. All of these people are attacking Sonny, and I suppose maybe Sonny could have been more careful, but it seems to me that they are the victims, and just attacking them maybe isn't the right way to go about it.
You can't attack the attackers, can you, because you don't know who they are.
Well, we do. That's the whole point. They do know who's done it because they announced who they were.
Well, why don't we just go and get them then? But also, Sony should have far more stringent security than they do.
Well,
have.
It does.
So
you're right. It does seem so. Yeah.
Over and over and
yeah,
over.
Yeah, I know.
But and the problem is, we're being almost forced to bank on the internet. Now, I don't bank on the internet. But I'm being nagged all the time, and I get a cheaper rate if I do bank on the internet. But why would I put my paltry 10 quid that's in the bank on the internet so some twerp could come along and nick it?
Well, it's really funny, because a couple of people I know here were listening to the programme a couple of weeks ago, and I mentioned about the bank I'd swapped to and how it always sends you an SMS to tell you something's been taken from your account.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. And they actually said to me, "We forgot about that, Eric. Thank you very much. We've done the same." And funnily enough, the bloke was in front of me in a well-known supermarket, which is all over Europe. And as he paid the bill, his phone goes dong 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 with some silly thingy. Yeah. And he said, "There you go. Look." And I went, "Oh, okay." So you can do these things. Just protect yourself where possible.
Yeah, let me come in and say that, because I bank with Lloyds. In London, and because I'm in France, I've got a French telephone number, and I asked Lloyds to provide me with that service, and they said, "No, sorry, we don't do it with international phone numbers." Of course, there's no reason why they couldn't, because, you know, all you've got to do is put a 00 and a 33 on the end and maybe be prepared to pay a centime or so more, which of course they would charge you. They won't do it. So
miserable gits.
You know, it seems to me they're still doing it, if you like, for cosmetic reasons, and they're not seriously worried yet.
Well, they should come and learn from the Slovak banks then.
Well, maybe they should.
I think a comment you've just made, Mark, is very, very true. That everybody, every man and his dog in business is jumping on the internet as the way forward. Yep. But they're doing it in a cosmetic way, like you say, without considering all the pitfalls, all the dangers and everything else, and the situations they're going to put the customers in. Yep. And that's why it's wrong. Yeah, obviously, ultimately, banking on the internet is going to be the thing to do, but not at the moment.
No, I have to say, but I'm very sorry about these Sony hacks and so forth, and I can see it's causing them a huge amount of money. And, of course, the victims of it, in other words, the people who had their data stolen, that's terrible as well. But in a way, I'm pleased that it's happening to Sony, and that we're getting, if you like, this wake-up call in respect of something like a game site, rather than sort of, you know, general banking or what have you, where people maybe got their livelihoods there. So maybe this will be the wake-up call for everybody to start seeing how vulnerable it really is.
Yeah, I agree. Anyway, let's move.
Can I just make a point on that?
30 seconds.
Very simply, you know, Google are searching for the people who've hacked into the American government's computers and emails.
Yep.
Now, that's how dangerous it is, because we're actually now almost got war or by keyboard.
Yes.
To some degree.
I mean, have you seen the American announcements recently about saying that they're passing a law through through their system there?
They only gave us 30 seconds, and that was mine.
I'm sorry, but just very, which apparently is going to say that any cyber attacks from any sort of recognised state will in future be treated as an act of war.
I know, that's what's scary about it, isn't it? And we can't even control the banking system, and yet we're going to use it for war.
Marvellous. Anyway, Lowry's Hawker's Cart. has sold for lots of money, by the Royal Scottish Academy to raise money to buy new works.
Yeah. I think the problem with this is, and you know, all right, the Royal Scottish Academy acquired that painting a long time ago and have used it to their own advantage, and it is theirs, and they've sold it. But Scotland does have a great history of looking after and protecting artists and sponsoring artists. Mm-hmm. The north of England, where Lowry comes from, which is where I come from, where it's all downbeat and horrible and rainy and stinky, don't particularly have a great way of supporting artists. So surely, wouldn't it have been better if the Scottish Royal Academy had given the money to the north of England to support artists there?
Why?
Because he comes from the north of England, you know.
What's that got to do with it? If they buy a Rolls Royce... If they buy a Rolls Royce, well, they're going to give it to somebody down in Coventry so they can...
I'm just saying that it would have been a generous gesture. I'm not saying that they should have done it.
Hmm.
Do we know where the painting's gone, though? I mean, that's interesting. Has it left the country? Has it gone into private hands? You know, it's a shame that we don't know about that. If it's gone from, you know, sort of public availability into private availability, well, I certainly do understand that maybe these organisations have to prioritise their assets, but it's a bit shame if it disappears from view or goes abroad.
I've got my cynical head on that says they're flogging this and then they're going to buy rubbish from people that paint things on street walls or something.
Well, yeah, the Banksy stuff. There was one sold for 300,000. A whole wall was sold for 300,000. That street art, Lowry, was in a way the precursor of punk painting.
And he painted matchstock men and matchstock cats and dogs.
That makes me want to vomit.
I quite agree. Mark's going to go up the wall again now. Barclays are considering buying a regional bank.
Yes, well, there we are.
Well, the Spanish are very fly.
Ho, ho, ho.
It's almost like an exchange. I mean, Santander have moved into the United Kingdom, brought up a lot of building societies and small banks here, or in the United Kingdom. And Barclays seems to be doing an exchange and going over to Spain and buying them up. I think what really interests me is, will they conduct their business model differently? There are quite a number of banks who operate, say, their overdraft bank charges system in a way that really is very, very disadvantageous to poor people in the United Kingdom. But for instance, when they operate, I think Barclays is an example, when they operate in the Netherlands, they don't use that kind of model at all. Mm. Santander has continued the bank charges system, which impresses so many people in England, but in Spain they don't. And I expect that what we'll get here is Barclays basically doing the same thing. In other words, it's not the only way to make a profit, and I think that's so hypocritical, and I don't see really why people in the United Kingdom should be disprivileged in that way.
We have to pay a flat fee over here for banking. I get charged a service fee a month.
Yes.
But that covers every other eventuality.
So yeah, how much does that cost you, roughly?
I think it's €5 a month, something like that.
€5? Heck. Is that all? That's only incredible. About £4.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, but that also covers my SMSs that I want. So a lot of the services that you would normally pay for in England as an extra service, I get them all thrown into this one flat fee. And it does make it more logical, because the bank I used to be with charge you for everything, and then at the end of the month you look at it and go, Jesus, where's all that lot gone? Because you can't budget for it. You don't. Yeah. You know, every time you draw money out of a cash point here, you pay X amount for that use of that cash point. I don't. Mine's on a flat fee.
As a matter of interest.
We don't pay for cash points in England.
You do if you're not using, say I go to a competitive bank.
Yeah.
I would get charged a fee.
Oh, right. In Britain, not so much now. There are a few, but not many. Most of them are...
In Britain, they're almost all free. But in Britain, most people now, I think, pay a flat fee for their account. But also, if you go into overdraft, you pay charges which are thousands of percent up. And that's uniquely a British system.
Okay. I've got to say, honestly, I don't pay a flat fee for my bank account. And I don't get charged for using any other of those all-in-the-wall machines. But I only pay £15 a month for my overdraft, which works out to be about 12%.
Okay. Anyway, moving along quickly as we get towards the end of part one. There's been a bit of another Barney at the BBC. A well-known and highly respected broadcaster, Chris Evans, has slammed the BBC. Basically, because what he's saying is that this newfound political correctness compliance that the BBC has is actually blocking creativity. And I have to say, it definitely is. Although our colleagues in America would probably find some of the things that are done on European radio as absolutely shocking, because they can't, sure they can't do that in America. I mean, if you watch a chat show in the UK compared to a chat show in the US, it is dramatically different, because you can't use that bleep word, which is normal street speak in Europe, because it's offensive in America, and it's this is the problem with all this stuff.
Can I ask a question here, as an ex-BBC person, Mr. Eric?
Yes.
I am shocked and appalled by the fact that the BBC, in particular, who use this duplicitous standard of protecting the morals of the British public, allow swearing, the most heinous, disgusting swearing on the BBC, particularly on chat shows where chat show people are allowed to go ahead unfettered, swear using the F word, every word that we're not allowed to use on this show, they use. And yet the BBC use this ridiculous culture of compliance. It's ludicrous, and the BBC need taking to task over it.
Well, the BBC, I mean, they may have got a bit over the top, I have to say, and I think that Evans is probably right. But on the other hand, I think that, you know, Jonathan Ross and Russell Brand, that particular prank, I just thought was not funny, really excessive. And Frankie Boyle mocking, you know, not, we're not talking about sort of, you know, disability in general, which maybe, but this was a personally directed target attack on a disabled boy. It was really quite gross, and for him to, to try and get
bullying a black farce is what they described it as, isn't it?
Yeah, but isn't it the it was clicking something? Will they stop doing it?
Who's lighting the cigarette? You're not allowed to smoke.
It's a Parker pen.
That's what
if
it is.
It's a Parker pen. You'll die of toxic duty.
I was getting irritated with
stuff. Okay. What was I going to say? The problem with all of this is not necessarily the way that the BBC's had. I think they've handled it badly, which is one thing. But I also think that the. It's inevitable, as Chris Evans says, that this kind of thing is going to happen. Because if you bring in fast-thinking, almost entrepreneurial broadcasters in a way, you are going to push the boundaries. And let's face it, you know, when the BBC started, they used to close down at 5 o'clock in the afternoon so that everybody could have tea. You know, and children's programmes ended at a certain time so they could go to bed.
Yeah.
You know, and having stood underneath the picture of Lord Reith and somebody taking a mickey out of me for doing it in Broadcasting House, you know, what he stood for was so draconian, it was outrageous. Absolutely outrageous.
But allowing people to swear unfetteredly on the radio is not breaking barriers. It is actually lowering the tone and the standard of the BBC.
But they don't do that during the Daily. That's not a norm. Well, what radio station?
Actually, I'm sorry. I'm talking about the BBC television, actually.
You're talking about BBC Three?
No, well, I'm talking about things like Loose Women and stuff like that. All right, they're not using the F word all over the place, but they're talking in smutty, downbeat, horrible.
What channel's Loose Women on then?
BBC.
Very quick, because he wants to go to it.
Is it really on the BBC?
I think I've got that wrong. I apologise completely.
Thank you.
I withdraw that statement and apologise to the BBC.
Yes, thank you very much.
They're still allowed too many programmes with too many swear words and talking about SEX and things that we don't want to know about because we're British.
And there hangs the tail of that one. We'll be back in part two. Fasten, you can make a milkshake, eat a burger, or do something else, but not ladies and gentlemen.
Eric... Give me a break.
RTI.